Amen. All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 31. And of course, this morning we are continuing a brand new sermon series that we started a couple of weeks ago entitled A Day in the Life. And we've been looking at what the Bible teaches that a biblical day should look like in the life of different individuals. And of course, I began 2 weeks ago with a sermon entitled A Day in the Life of a Believer. And that was a general, kind of applies to everyone. And we talked about four foundational practices for every Christian: Bible reading, prayer, of course, praise, and dying to self. And the idea is that those will apply to everyone, all right? So I'm not necessarily going through those every sermon, but of course, everyone should be reading their Bible every day and praying and doing those things. Last week, I preached specifically about a day in the life of a Christian man. We talked about men working and going to work and of course, leading their homes spiritually. And this week, we're turning our attention to the subject of a day in the life of Christian ladies. So if you're a first-time guest here this morning, I'm not just randomly picking on the ladies this morning. It's a series we're going through. The men got it last week, and the ladies are getting it this week. And next week, I would encourage you to be with us, because next week I'm going to be preaching about the day in the life of a Christian young person. And we're going to be talking about teens and possibly children. So all the adults, it should be guilt-free for you, all right? And you just make sure you bring your kids and have them in church. Of course, when we're talking about a day in the life of a Christian lady, it's not difficult to find a passage of Scripture that will speak to us about this subject, because Proverbs 31 is one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible with regards to ladies. And this chapter already describes the daily life and character of a godly woman. If you're there in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, notice the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." The Bible tells us, here, of course, is where we get the title of a virtuous woman. And this proverb describes this woman, a virtuous woman, a godly lady. And I'm not going to, of course, this morning cover verse by verse Proverbs 31. That's not necessarily the purpose of this sermon. But I do want to highlight several practical and biblical priorities that we see in this passage with regards to the regular day-to-day responsibilities for a Christian lady. So we're going to be primarily in Proverbs 31 this morning, and of course, keep your place there. But if you don't mind, just by way of introduction, go with me to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. Keep your place there in Proverbs 31. But if you can find 1 Timothy in the New Testament towards the end, you've got all the T books. They're all clustered together, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. I'd like you to find 1 Timothy. And then do me a favor, when you get there, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. And I'd like for you to be able to get to it quickly. We're going to go to 1 Timothy now, and then we're going to go back to Proverbs 31. At the end of the sermon, we're going to come back to 1 Timothy. So I want you to get to it quickly. But I'd like you to see 1 Timothy. And let me just begin in just giving some introductory statements. And let me say this, that the Bible clearly teaches that God's design for a Christian lady, especially wives and mothers, is to be what the Bible refers to, we'll see it here in a minute, for her to guide the house, or for them to be keepers at home. This is the ideal that God has. This is the ideal will for a lady's life. And I understand that even just making these statements nowadays is controversial, but it's the Word of God. And we should care about what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 5:14, he says, "I will, therefore." Now, this is Paul speaking, but it's really the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. And I want you to notice the word "will" there is in referring to God's will, what God desires, what God wants. He says, "I will, therefore, that the younger women." So here we're going to see, by and large, this is God's will for a young lady's life. Well, when God looks down at a young lady and he sees into her future, what he desires, what he wills for her, is what's outlined here in this verse. "I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." So I want you to notice that the Bible teaches here that women are to marry and to bear children and to guide the house. If you are there, keep your place there in 1 Timothy, and go with me, if you wouldn't mind, to Titus chapter number 2. If you're in 1 Timothy, you're going to go past 2 Timothy into the book of Titus, past 2 Timothy into Titus chapter 2, and look at verse number 5. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says in Titus 2, 5, to be discreet, chaste. I want you to notice this little phrase here, keepers at home. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the Bible tells us that God's desire is for ladies to marry, bear children, guide the house. Here in Titus, we're told that they are to be keepers at home. And these are biblical terms, guide the house, keepers at home. The term that we would probably use would be something more like a homemaker, or we would talk about a stay-at-home wife or stay-at-home mother. And this is what the Bible teaches. A Christian lady, God's desire and his perfect will is for them to marry, bear children, and guide the house, for them to be keepers at home. And we begin here because when we understand the biblical role of a lady, then she can be faithful in her daily responsibilities. You cannot be faithful in your daily responsibilities if you don't understand what God's biblical intent and role for your life is. Now, keep your place there in 1 Timothy. Like I said, we're going to come back to it towards the end of the sermon. And go back with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. And while you turn there, let me just give just a big disclaimer or an important disclaimer. I'm sure disclaimer is not the right word, but let me just give some thoughts. I'm preaching this sermon, of course, in the context of the Bible, which is how every sermon should be preached. And that context is that a lady in God's perfect will should be a stay-at-home wife and mother. She should guide the house. She should be a keeper at home. And I'm preaching this sermon in this context because that's what the Bible teaches, and that is what God's design is. However, let me just say this, that I understand that not every woman is in that position. Some ladies are single. Some ladies are widowed. Some ladies find themselves in a situation where maybe they're a single mother, and it may be for no fault of their own. Some ladies maybe are married and have children, but for whatever reason, they have to go to work and work outside the home. And I understand that. And if that's your situation, I just want you to know I'm not attacking you this morning. I'm not judging you. I understand that there's God's perfect will, and sometimes our own sin or the sin of others get in the way of that, and that's not always possible. With that said, let me say this, that I'm always going to preach the Bible. And let me say this, that the sermon can still be helpful to you, and it still applies to you, and it can still be something that you can learn from. It just means that if you find yourself in a situation like that, that some of your daily responsibilities are going to include working outside the home. And we understand that's not always something that can be avoided. I think it should be avoided as much as possible. And I think it's the men's responsibility to make sure that they don't put their wives in a position where that's something that needs to happen. But again, if you're here this morning and that's where you're at, I just want you to know that I'm not attacking you this morning, but I am going to preach the Bible, and I'm going to preach what the Bible says. In Proverbs 31, we find, of course, this virtuous woman. And as quickly as I can this morning, I'd like to give you five thoughts with regards to the daily priorities of a Christian lady. And like I said, even if you work at home, even if you work outside the home, ladies, I think these things are going to apply to you. If you have a family, if you have a home, these things are going to apply to you. So I think they'll be helpful to all ladies. I'd like to do this as quickly as I can. If you're taking notes, I'd like to give you five thoughts. And if you'd like, you can jot these down. You're there in Proverbs 31. I'd like you to look down at verse number 14. The Bible says in verse 14, she is like a merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat. The word meat is in being used in an archaic way, or an older way, a way we don't use today. It means food, not just flesh, but food. She giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So like I said, Proverbs 31 has a lot in it, and I'm not going to go through every verse. I'm just going to point out the practical daily things that are mentioned in this proverb. And the first one is this. We see that Christian ladies should feed their families well. This is what we see in these verses, that Christian ladies should make it a daily priority of feeding their families well. Again, it says, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And when I see that word bringeth, when in reference to her food, she bringeth her food from afar, what I see is that she plans. We're here talking about a virtuous woman. That's what the Bible calls. I mean, this is the ideal Christian lady, a virtuous woman. He says that her price is far above rubies. And what we see is that she plans ahead and shops wisely. And I want to give a lot of practical things with regards to some of these things I'm going to say this morning, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. And I'm going to use our home and specifically my wife, maybe just as an example. And the only reason for that is because, you know, I only have one wife, so I only have one home. So I can only tell you what we do, and maybe that'll be helpful in your home. But so I don't mean to, you know, keep bringing my wife up, but I think it might be helpful for you to maybe get some practical tips from a Christian home. And I can tell you, in our home, my wife plans her meals weekly. And this is something she does at the beginning of the week. And on a Monday morning, I often will see her, or Monday afternoon, I often see her with a notepad and a pen. And she's writing out the plan for the week for the family. And she'll just write on a list Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And she'll write, you know, what the breakfast will be on Monday, and what the lunch will be on Monday, and what the dinner will be on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. She plans these things out, and she's so consistent at it that I have gone in the habit, I think the children have gone in the habit of just randomly asking, what's for lunch today, or what's for dinner tomorrow, you know, just out of curiosity. And this helps her. It helps her save time. It reduces stress. She's not, doesn't find herself, you know, just in a frenzy in the evening. Everybody's looking at her, waiting for a meal, and she's not sure what to do. And I think the biggest benefit is that it helps her to create a purposeful grocery list, because she knows what she's cooking on for dinner on Monday, and breakfast and lunch for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And these things help. And that's what I see here with this Proverbs 31 lady. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She plans ahead and she shops wisely. And I would say, ladies, that you should take this as a responsibility, as a daily responsibility. Of course, your family needs to eat daily, and you should see this as one of your responsibilities to make sure you feed your families well. And I would encourage you to plan ahead and to be ready for these things. And ladies, specifically, let me say this. If you are a stay-at-home mom, and I or a stay-at-home wife, a stay-at-home mother, and I would say that many of the ladies in our church are those things, then, you know, if your husband is at work all day, and I hope he is, he should be at work all day working hard to provide for his family, I would just encourage you that when your husband's at work all day, he should come home to a good, hot, home-cooked meal, all right? It shouldn't be this thing that a man goes off to work all day and then he's expected to come home and cook as well. If you're staying home, your job is to make sure that your family's being fed, and specifically that your husband's being fed when he comes home from work. And look, I understand from time to time you're going to eat out. I get that. You're going to go on date nights, or you're going to have times when things are busy. But by and large, preparing nourishing meals should be a regular practice in your home. And I would just say, and my advice is that eating out should be it should not be the rule. It should not be the norm. When you're a stay-at-home wife, you need to make sure that you are feeding your family well, and especially those dinners. You know, breakfast and lunch might look different for different people, but when your husband's working all day, make sure he's coming home to a well-prepared meal. I see in this proverb not only that she plans ahead and shops wisely, she bringeth her food from afar, but in verse 15, the Bible says this, she riseth also while it is yet night. And the idea is that she's getting up early, even while before the sun is out, and giveth meat. The word meat, again, means food, to her household, and a portion to her maidens. And what we see is that this Proverbs 31 woman, this virtuous woman, she is diligent and disciplined about this thing. She's diligent about making sure that her family is fed well. I like it here that it says she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. She's making sure that they're fed and taken care of for the day. When I worked a secular job, obviously I'm a pastor now, and my office is at home. I have an office here and whatever. My schedule is a little different. But when I was in the Air Force and when I worked a secular job and I was, you know, having to be somewhere as part of my work routine, you know, my wife would pack lunches for me to take to work every day. And that was helpful because if she packed a lunch, then that means that I didn't have to go out and buy lunch every day. That helped us save money. And she would do that. And again, that's part of the preparation. That's part of being ready to do that. So ladies, I want to encourage you, wake up early. Wake up early enough to make breakfast and wake up early enough to pack a lunch. Or if you say, I really struggle with getting up early, or maybe you say, my husband gets up too early. You know, he's got one of those jobs where he's getting up in the middle of the night. Then maybe you can prepare that lunch the night before. But I would just say, take it seriously, this idea of making sure your family is being fed. I would say this as well. You can prepare meals and you can prepare for meals, I should say, ahead of time. And again, I'm just telling you, plan those things out. Here in our home on church nights, oftentimes church nights can be very late for us on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights. Sometimes I will meet with people, my wife will meet with people, and oftentimes we don't get out of here till very late. And you know, my wife, she plans for those nights. She plans Instant Pot meals that can be cooking in the Instant Pot while we're away, and it's of course done in a safe way in an Instant Pot, so that way we come home to a warm meal. Or she might pre-prepare ingredients and pre-cut things or pre-have things ready, just kind of easier things that she can put together and have a nice meal when we get home. And I'm just saying, when it comes to feeding a family, I think that preparation is half the battle, just kind of thinking ahead and being ready for those things. Because we're a family of eight, we've got six children, and three of them are teenagers, and if we were trying to eat out every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, you know, that would ruin us financially. We would just not be able to do that. So plan ahead. Plan your meals around your weekly schedule. Again, for example, something we do in my home, my wife plans a quick and easy lunch on Saturdays. Obviously, every Saturday we go soul winning in the morning. And knowing that we're going to be soul winning, we're going to be at church. I mean, we're usually at church at like 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, and we go soul winning. And you know, we don't often get home till 12:30 or whatever it might be. She's already got something planned and ready to put together, and it's usually something that's easier to put together on a Saturday. And look, your schedule may look different. What I'm saying to you is that you should be diligent about this thing, you should be disciplined about this thing, you should plan ahead, you should prepare, and you should take it seriously. I just think it's interesting that God gives us this chapter about a godly Christian lady, this virtuous woman, and he's telling her that one of the things that makes her a godly lady is that she bringeth her food from afar, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So number one, we see that a Christian lady should feed their families. Christian ladies should feed their families well. Let me give you a second thought this morning, and it is found in verse number 16. I'd like you to look at Proverbs 31 in verse number 16. The Bible says this: she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So we saw, number one, that Christian ladies should feed their families well. But number two this morning, I want to say this. When we're talking about the daily routine of a Christian lady, Christian ladies should make wise purchases. Christian ladies should make wise purchases. The Bible says that she considereth a field and buyeth it. What does that mean? It means that she thinks before she spends. Notice, she doesn't just spend and go off on a spending spree, but she considers the field. She thinks about it. She ponders it. I'm sure she prays about it. She gets counsel about it. The Bible says she considers the field and buyeth it. And again, in our home, we're a family of eight. And we've got six kids, and three of them are teenagers. And I'll tell you something about teenagers. People used to say like, teenagers, they eat like adults. And I understand what they mean by that, but I would say teenagers eat more than adults. Like, I don't eat as much as, you know, my teenagers do. I think that you got little kids, they don't eat as much, then you got teens, and they eat a lot. And then, like, once you become an adult, maybe you go back to more of a normal diet. But it seems like these kids, when they're in these growth spurts and these growing stages, they're just consuming. And I'll tell you this, food adds up. And in our home, and your home may be different, but in our home, the largest monthly expense is our grocery bill. And I'm saying more than any other bill, more than our mortgage, you know, we spend more money on groceries every week and every month than anything else. And again, that's just because we've got six kids. And I always, you know, think to myself, and I always tell my wife, like, one day these kids are going to grow up, they're going to get married, they're going to move out of the house. And it's going to be like, you know, like we got to raise, you know, just not having to spend as much money as we do on groceries. So for us, this is a big expense. And you know what the Bible says about the virtuous woman is that she considereth the field and buyeth it. And this is a big expense in our home. So, you know, something that my wife does, and again, your situation might look different or be different, but I'm just trying to give you some practical things that maybe will be helpful, is that my wife has a rotation of five different stores that she shops at regularly, because each one of these stores offers the best deals on different things that we need. And you know, on Mondays, my wife has three different stores she goes to and gets the majority of the things that we need at those stores. And the first one is where she gets, you know, most of the things. And then the second one is kind of a store that sometimes they have things and sometimes they don't. And when they have it, it's a really good price. But when they don't, you know, they don't. So then she'll go there and kind of see what they have and fill in her list of things she needs with those great prices. And then the last store she goes to is a store that has, you know, special deals on Mondays and whatever. So on Mondays, that's kind of her big grocery day. She goes to three different stores, and between those three different stores can often get most of what we need and get the best price on those things. And there's another store she goes to on Thursdays. We hit that one on our date nights. We go on date nights on Thursdays, and then she'll get what she needs from that store. And then there's another store, Costco, which she goes to not every week, but maybe every other week or every several weeks as needed for certain things that we buy in bulk. And, you know, she does this because this is a big expense for us. And if she just went to one store and just got everything we needed, you know, it might get out of control. But she's diligent about knowing where things are that we need and where we can get the best price for those things. And she puts in the work. And look, here's what I'm saying to you ladies, is that if you're a stay-at-home wife, you're a stay-at-home mother, this is an area where you can make a big difference financially. And by shopping wisely and saving wherever possible, then you can help your family with regards. And look, obviously, I preached last week about the fact that men need to go off to work and they need to make money, and your husband earns the money, and praise the Lord for that. But you have a lot of power in regards to making that money last. And you can make that money go a long ways. You know, there's the famous, the well-known saying, a penny saved is a penny earned. And I agree with that. A penny saved is a penny earned. And I think you can make the argument that a penny saved is more than a penny earned. Because in order to earn a penny, you have to go somewhere, you have to work, you have to put gas in the vehicle, get to the location, work, get paid, then you got to pay taxes on that penny. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But so sometimes people get this idea like, oh, if I just made more pennies. Well, you know, if you save more pennies, you might find that it helps you get further in life. And again, you wives can be a great help with these things. Let me say this as well. You know, I think that wives, and again, I realize that, you know, I'm going to start maybe meddling a little bit, and that's okay. That's my job. If you're not uncomfortable from time to time, then I'm not doing my job. But, you know, I believe that wives should be financially aware. I don't think that wives should be in the dark or unconcerned about the household budgets. And I want to say that in those two different ways. I don't think that wives should be unconcerned, ladies. You should be concerned about the finances, and that should drive you to want to do things to help with the finances. And again, you know, in our home, we realize groceries are our biggest bill. But then my wife also realized, but we can control where we buy our groceries and how we go about that. And we can control those things so we can help bring that cost down. But let me just say this as well. Not only should ladies not be unconcerned about the finances, but I don't think that ladies should be kept in the dark And I'm supposed to be preaching at ladies, and I'm going to preach at men here for a little bit. And you guys are like, you preached at us last week. Yeah, but you guys, you know, need it more sometimes, I feel like. You know, men, you go off to work, and your wife is a stay-at-home wife. Don't have this attitude that it's my money. You know, my money. You know, when you got married, you became one flesh. And everything is supposed to be, it's all supposed to be together. It's not your money and her money. No, it's both of your guys' money. And I think that men need to, you know, here's what I think is interesting is oftentimes men will complain, my wife spends all my money. But then you never, she doesn't even know how much money you have. You never include her in the finances. She has no clue what's going on. Look, in our home, I run the finances. I pay the bills. I make out the checks. I write the budget. I do all of that. But you know, my wife has access to all of our accounts. She knows every, you know, she can look at the accounts and she knows how much money we have. And I often talk to her about it or whatever. And look, I think that this is something that you guys need to do in marriage as a team and as a couple. And let me just go ahead and say this. You know, it's always concerning to me when men are hiding finances from their wives. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you've got to hide finances from your wife and your wife can't know where you're spending certain things, that's just a good, again, I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything. I'm just telling you that that's a concerning. And in marriage, things should be open. You should be one flesh. Get away from this attitude. My money. When you got married, it became both of your monies. And when you started having children, it became those kids' monies. I'll just tell you that right now. So, you know, get off this high horse of being the head of the home and whatever, and start just being smart about some of these things. If you include your wife in the finances, then she might realize, oh, you know, let me help with that. Let me go to 3 different stores. I'm thankful my wife does that. Obviously, it takes her time to do that. It takes a lot of time for her to do that, to plan those things out, but it helps our home in the long run. I just think couples need to start working together. And realizing, obviously, there's the head of the home, and I understand all those things. I'm not preaching against that. But the Bible says that you are one flesh. So we see that Christian ladies should make wise purchases, and we see that she thinks before she spends. She considereth the field and buyeth it. But not only that, let me just point this out. Notice verse 16. The Bible says there, she considereth the field and buyeth it. We talked about that. Notice the last part of the verse. It says, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. And here the Bible says that she's planting a vineyard, and the idea is that she's making an investment that would yield fruit for her family in the future. And so not only do I think that a virtuous woman here, the Bible tells us that she thinks before she spends, but also I would say the Bible teaches us that she invests in long-term value. She's planting a vineyard because she realizes that that vineyard is going to yield fruit for her family in the future. And I would say this, that a wise woman doesn't just spend money. She thinks about how her purchases are going to help the family in the long run. I remember years ago, my wife came to me and asked me about purchasing an additional Instant Pot. And, you know, I don't... She was just wanting to know if it would be fine if we could purchase that and kind of make that purchase. And the reason for it was that so that she could prepare, it would help her to prepare home-cooked meals while we were away, often for the evening services. And, you know, it's a little bit of an investment. They're not the cheapest thing in the world, but that small investment helped us avoid eating out. So it's kind of the same idea. She planted the vineyard. The idea is that she's investing in a long-term value, and she's considering things, what can I do to help the family succeed? So you ladies, I want to encourage you, look for purchases that serve a purpose, things that improve the quality of life, things that save time, things that reduce stress. A Christian lady should not only feed her family well, but she should make wise purchases. Let me give you a third thought. This morning, you're there in Proverbs 31. Skip down to verse number 21. Again, we're not going through the entire Proverbs. We're just kind of focusing in on the daily routine aspect of it. Notice the Bible says in Proverbs 31:21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So we saw, number one, that Christian ladies should feed their families well. And we saw number two that Christian ladies should make wise purchases. But I want you to notice number three this morning. Christian ladies should manage the clothing needs of their household. Christian ladies should manage the clothing needs of their household. I just think it's interesting that God brings up these very practical things in this proverb. He says, "For all her household are clothed with scarlet," verse 21. "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple," verse 22. And again, in the ancient world, this might have looked a little different. Obviously, it talks about her making clothes by hand. That's not something we necessarily do in our modern day. And to be very honest with you, you know, in our modern day, I think it probably would cost you more money and more time to try to make your own clothes than to maybe just try to save money by going to a thrift store or buying things on a good deal. So I'm not saying that you need to be making, you know, clothes in your home or anything like that. But I do think that we can gather this idea that a Christian lady should manage the clothing needs of the household, and she should plan ahead for this. And of course, you know, in our modern day, I would say in the ancient world, the problem was is that, you know, we're told that in the ancient world, people often had one or two different outfits, you know, suits of clothing. They would have something that they would wear on a daily basis to work, and they would have maybe something a little nicer for special gatherings, and that's it, you know. So in those days, the problem was that most people didn't have a lot of clothes, and so a Christian lady would spend their time preparing clothes, making clothes, mending clothes, you know. In our day and age, I don't think the problem is that we have too little of clothes. In our day and age, I think the problem is that we have too much clothes. And those clothes need to be washed and dried and folded and laundered, you know, on a regular basis. So I would say this, you know, that you should, ladies, you should plan ahead for those busy days. Again, in our home, my wife, she doesn't wait till Sunday morning to gather the church clothes. You know, she washes and prepares in advance, knowing that Sundays are busy days for us, so that the Sunday morning can run smoothly in our home. And look, I'm just saying that, ladies, you need to prepare for these things. You need to make sure that you've got some sort of a routine. Your husband needs to get up and go to work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. He's providing financially for the home. He's doing his job. Praise the Lord for that. But help him out and make sure that on Monday morning he's got what he needs. You know, he's got clean shirts and pants and socks and whatever he needs to be able to get to work. Handle the laundry. Take it as, make it a priority. And I would say this, handle laundry promptly. Make sure you fold and you hang and you put away clothes quickly. Don't let the clean laundry become just this clutter of a mess that, it, you know, on its own. Where you've got this pile of dirty clothes and clean clothes. Hey, wash the clothes and get them put away and stay up on top of those things. And ladies, I would say this, teach your children and involve your children in these things. You know, even young kids can help match socks. They can put things away. Oftentimes my wife, when she does laundry and she's doing laundry, you know, she's putting things in hangers and folding things or whatever, but she's having the little ones help her put them in their drawers and put them in their closets. As they grow older, they can learn to fold, they can learn to organize, they can eventually do their own laundry. It teaches them responsibility, it lightens their load. My son is to do Muay Thai several times a week, and with Muay Thai, they've got certain clothing that they wear, and when they go, and of course, it gets dirty and sweaty and whatever, and they're to the age now where they take care of that themselves. Their mother's not, you know, getting all their dirty shorts and doing it, especially because they go multiple times a week. You know, they put that in, and she taught them how to do that, and they take care of that. It's their responsibility. So teach your children, involve your children. I would say this, consider the clothing needs of your family. By season. This is another thing that you can do that can be very helpful. The Bible says about the virtuous woman that she is not afraid of the snow because her family is clothed appropriately. And what that tells me is that she prepares in advance. So make sure that your kids have what they need for the colder months. That's what it says there. She's not afraid of snow. But also for growth spurts, you know, these are things that my wife oftentimes is asking me or talking to me about, the fact that summer's coming and the girls have grown out of their sandals. We need to purchase some sandals maybe for them to wear. And she'll try to do that at seasons and at times when they're on sale. Winter's coming and we've got this coat that this child grew out of, but it's still in good condition, so this child can now take it, but we've got this coat that's not in good condition, needs to be replaced. So she's mindful of those things, and she's going and trying to purchase those things on sale and at times when they're maybe not expensive. And I'm just saying to you ladies that you should manage the clothing needs of your household. You should consider, you know, what do you need for the upcoming seasons? Of course, kids grow. They have growth spurts. And how can you manage that? And how can you save money as much as possible? Christian ladies should manage the clothing needs of their household. Let me give you a fourth one. You're there in Proverbs 31, but I'd like you to go up. Let's go up to verse number 1 real quickly. Let me just point this out to you. Proverbs 31. I said number 1 this morning, Christian ladies should feed their families well. Number 2, Christian ladies should make wise purchases. Number 3, Christian ladies should manage the clothing needs of the household. Here's number 4. Christian ladies should educate their children. In Proverbs 31 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, the words of King Lemuel. I want you to notice this little phrase here. The Bible says the prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy that his mother taught him. It's interesting to me that that word is used, because the word prophecy is a word that's often used, the word that you and I would use would be preach. A lot of times in the Bible, the word preach is used, the word that you and I would use for preaching is soul winning, and the word that you and I use for preach would be prophecy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here the Bible's talking about the fact that this is the preaching that his mother taught him. You know, sometimes we think that prophecy is only foretelling the future, but in Proverbs 31, there's no end times prophecy. There's nothing being foretold in the future. But she preached to her son the prophecy that his mother taught him. And we believe that Christian ladies should educate their children. Obviously, husbands should educate their children as well. But specifically, in our context and in the context of the sermon, you know, I want to talk about homeschooling. And here at our church, and I've preached on the subject of homeschooling in the past, and we believe that homeschooling is the biblical and ideal model for Christian families. It allows parents, especially mothers, to be the primary influence in their children's lives. And again, let me just say, we understand it's not always possible in every home and every structure. There are ladies, even in our church, that don't have the liberty maybe to homeschool or the ability to be able to do that. And again, if that's the context you find yourself in, I'm not picking on you. But when possible, we think that homeschooling is the ideal way to educate children. And we've got a lot of homeschool families in our church, and I thank God for it. Let me just say a couple practical things with regards to homeschooling, because obviously ladies are going to be the primary educators in a homeschool family. A stay-at-home wife and mother, while the husband goes off to work, will be educating her children. So let me just give you some thoughts with regards to homeschooling. Ladies, you ought to establish and maintain daily routines. You should start school at a set time each day, and you should stick to a schedule. Children thrive on structure. Children thrive on consistency. And let me say this, children learn better, everyone learns better, off of structure and off of consistency. So you need to be offering those things in your homeschool life with your children. You know, don't be one of these adventurous moms that just kind of is like, oh, we're just kind of doing whatever. You know, whatever happens today, we're just kind of here and we're kind of there. You know, education needs to be structured. And look, I'm not trying to pick on you, but let me just help you. You need to get up at certain times during the day. Your children need to get up at certain times during the day. You know, at set times, I should say, during the day. You should teach your children, get dressed for the day. Don't do this homeschooling. You're homeschooling in the pajamas. You wouldn't do that if your kids were in a public school. I mean, I guess maybe you would. Nowadays, people go everywhere in their pajamas. Even, you know, Walmart primarily seems to be the place where people like to go in their pajamas. But what I'm saying is, get up, have a routine, have a certain time you get up for the day. And when you have breakfast and get dressed for the day, have a schedule, make sure it's consistent, make sure it's a routine. Use a solid curriculum. Don't just wing it. Don't just, well, they're watching this educational thing on YouTube. You know, have a plan. Get educational materials. Make sure that your children are being... Look, we believe in homeschooling, and the primary reason I think that I can tell you that our family believes in homeschooling is because we want to keep our kids away from the worldly influences that are out there. But let me just say this. We also believe that they should be well-educated. So don't have this idea like, well, we're homeschooling, so our kids are just going to grow up to be dumb. Don't do that to your kids. Teach them well. Educate them well. Use a curriculum. Get some training. Read a book. Do something. Get ready for some of these things. And then I would also say this. Make sure, moms, that you're disciplining your children in spiritual things as well, that you're educating them. One of the things I love about the homeschool structure that my wife has is that every day starts with the Word of God. Every day starts with Bible time, and she reads the Bible to the kids, and she prophesies to them and preaches to them and teaches them things from the Bible, and they go through the book of Proverbs, and they go through other books of the Bible together. And so make sure, ladies, that you're educating your children. Make sure that you're taking that job seriously. And then let me give you a fifth one this morning. Go down to Proverbs 31 and verse number 27. Proverbs 31 and verse 27. I said, number one, they should feed their families well. Number two, they should make wise purchases. Number three, they should manage the clothing needs of their household. Number four, they should educate their children. Here's number five, Christian ladies should clean and maintain their households. Christian ladies should clean and maintain their households. Look at verse 27, Proverbs 31, verse 27. The Bible says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, the Bible says here that she looketh well to the ways of her household. And ladies, if you stay home, you know, I don't like to say, I don't like it when people say like, oh, my wife doesn't work. Well, look, if your wife stays home and she's got six kids and she's educating them well and she's running the meal structure of the home and the clothing structure of the home and keeping the house clean and tidy, she's working, all right? So don't say things like that. You know, she might not go and work a secular job outside the home. We understand that. I would say, ladies, establish daily cleaning habits. And again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. You're smart enough to figure it out. And I'm sure you could look up videos and things that help you. You know, one thing that I think about is this. My wife has this rule for herself that she just does not like to. And I don't know that she ever has gone to bed while there are dirty dishes in the sink. She just likes to make sure that the dishes, she likes to wake up to a home that is orderly and cleaned. And I just think simple habits like that, they help maintain order. They help stay on top of things. So I would say use weekly cleaning schedules. And again, I don't know all the details, but I know that in our home, my wife has a schedule where, you know, certain parts of the house get cleaned on certain days, and the bathrooms get cleaned on a certain day, and whatever. She has a routine, and I would encourage you to get on something like that. You don't get this idea where you have to clean the whole house, you know, all in one day. If you keep up with just keeping certain areas of the house clean every day, keep up with things like not going to bed with dishes in the sink. It helps maintain the whole thing. And then, of course, if you've got children, involve the children. Teach your kids to help with cleaning, and even from an early age. Look, toddlers can help pick up toys. They can help pick things up. Older kids can vacuum. Older kids can do dishes. Older kids can clean bathrooms. Older kids can fold laundry. You know, teach your kids, involve them. This helps lighten the load off of you, mom, but also it's training your kids for real life. And it's training them for one day when they are adults and they've got to take care of these things. So these are just some practical things that a Christian lady should be doing and handling when on a regular basis. And again, let me just review them real quickly. I've got some just closing thoughts that I want to give you. But let me just go through these again in case you're writing them down. We're talking about things that Christian ladies should focus on a daily basis. Christian ladies should, number one, feed their families well. Number two, make wise purchases. Number three, manage the clothing needs of her household. Number four, educate their children. And number five, clean and maintain their households. Now, let me just end with a couple thoughts here, and I'd like you to see some of these things. The primary thing that I would say is this, don't be idle. Don't be idle. The Bible says there in Proverbs 31 and verse 13, it says, she seeketh wool and flax. And notice what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. It says, she worketh willingly with her hands. So she's a hard worker. She's working willingly. Notice verse number 15. We already saw it, but I want you to see it again. It says, she riseth also while it is yet night. She doesn't just sleep in all day every day. She gets up early. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So not only is she getting up early, sometimes she's staying up late, having to deal with things and get things ready and in place. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Notice these words. And eateth not the bread of idleness. Eateth not the bread of idleness. The word idle is defined as not active, not in use, not working. If your car is in idle, you're not doing anything. You're not going forward. You're not going backward. You're just not doing. And here the Bible says that she eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, what's interesting about this virtuous woman is that, yes, she's a stay-at-home mom and wife. She's staying at home. But you can tell she's busy. She's working. She's not just sitting at home watching soap operas all day. Not just sitting at home doing nothing all day. So I want to encourage you ladies, you know, the goal is don't be idle. And I would say especially if you're a stay-at-home wife and you do not yet have children, or if your children are grown, be careful about not falling into this trap of idleness. Obviously, when you've got four little kids, five little kids, six little kids running around, even if you are just lazy, you know, those kids are going to make you do some things, you know, because they're going to make you change their diapers and they're going to make you feed them or whatever. But if you find yourself in a season of life where maybe your kids are grown, you're an empty nester, they're out of the house, or maybe the Lord just hasn't yet blessed you with children, be careful about, you know, living this selfish life where you're just kind of sitting around doing nothing or just doing a lot of just things that are for yourself or for your own pleasure. The Bible says that she eateth not the bread of idleness. So be careful about being idle. Be careful about being lazy with some of these things. Go back to 1 Timothy, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And while you turn there, let me just say this, because I often get asked about this, and so I want to, you know, be clear about some of these things. Because when I preach a sermon like this, sometimes people maybe don't understand or they've got some questions. So let me just try to answer the question in advance. You know, I'd like to explain just my position on ladies working and what I believe about that. And of course, let me just go ahead and say this. Your husband, or if you're a daughter, your father, you know, may have a different position. And of course, he's the head of your home, so you should listen to him. But people will often ask me my position on some of these things. And I base my position as much as possible on the Bible, of course. So let me just give you my position on ladies working. Number one, I think this should be obvious, but I do not believe that Christian women, should drop off their children at some daycare or somewhere in order for them to go to work. If it can be avoided, and again, I understand that sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes you just find yourself in a place in life, you find yourself as a single mother, and you've just got to go to work. I'm not picking on you if that's your position, if that's your situation. But I am saying that if it can be avoided, if you have a husband and your husband is not lazy and is willing to go to work, you know, then I believe that Christian women should stay home and raise their children, and we've seen that from the Bible. They should be keepers at home. They should guide the home. I would, in our home, my wife and I take the position that we would not allow our teenage, underage daughters to work in a worldly environment where they might be filled, you know, they might be under some bad influences. So that's my position. You know, I'm not going to let my 16-year-old daughter go work somewhere in a secular type setting. Now, that doesn't mean that teenage girls can't work. And there's things that they can do that are appropriate to make money, and I'm all for that. But if you're asking me, which I know you're not asking me right now, but people ask me, you know, I wouldn't allow my teenage daughter to go get a job, like, in the secular sense, where she's out there under some worldly influences. With that said, let me say this. I do not believe first let me say this. Sometimes women have to work, and sometimes it's fine that they even go to work. So before I say that, obviously I think that there are some jobs that Christian women should work. I don't think a Christian woman should go be working in some construction site with a bunch of men. You know, it's not something that I would recommend. I don't think a Christian lady should go out there and try to be a cop or something. And again, you know, I realize that some of these things are controversial, but whatever. I think you can find those principles from the Bible. However, let me just say this. I don't think it's wrong for a married woman, an adult woman, not a teenager, but a lady who's married, and maybe either you have no children, like the Lord hasn't blessed you with children, or your children are outside of the home. They've already grown up. I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman in that position necessarily going and working a job, especially if it's a part-time job, if it's flexible, if it helps the household. And again, I you know, because sometimes people hear me preach these things, like, here's what I'm saying to you. Is I don't think it's wrong for some lady, she's older, her kids are grown, they're out of the house, and she's got a part-time job at, I don't know, Hobby Lobby or something. You know, I don't think that's the end of the world. I don't think that's the worst thing. You know, my wife, obviously our kids are home, but one day when our kids are grown out of the house, I don't think my wife's going to go off and work anywhere, just mainly because she already has a job. She doesn't get paid for it. You know, it's being a pastor's wife, and that takes up a lot of her time with all the events and things she runs. But I just want to be clear, because sometimes people, they're like, well, is this bad? You know, and the primary problem with women going off to work is when they're neglecting their children. So if you don't have children, or if your children are growing out of the house, I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing in the world for them to work a job. I'm also not saying that they need to go work a job. I'm not saying that either. But the point that I am making is that whether you have children in the home or not, you know, make sure that you're not being idle. You know, make sure that you're not being idle in the home and that you're just wasting time. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, notice what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 5:13, it says, and withal they learn to be idle. It's talking about women. Although we saw a similar verse about this last week about men who don't work, it says the same thing about them. But here it's talking about ladies. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, look at the words here, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And the words tattler and busybodies, it's talking about being a gossip. It's talking about being a slanderer. It's talking about, you know, being someone who's trying to involve yourself in the affairs of others, get information from people so you can tattle it, so you can tell it others. And look, here's what I'm saying to you. If a lady is getting up early every day, she's feeding her family good, solid meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, you know, on occasion, maybe going out to eat, husband's buying pizza or whatever, but on a regular basis, she's taking her job seriously about feeding her family. She's taking her job seriously about managing the clothing needs and making sure that laundry's being done on a regular. Look, again, we're a family of eight. I've got six kids. Laundry gets done every day in our home. Like the washing machine and the dryer, we see a washing machine and a dryer. We don't buy new washing machines and dryers. We buy them used because we see them as like a two-year investment because they're literally being used every day. You know, and it's a whole big responsibility to keep up with that and to get that train moving and keep it flowing just so we can get up and put clothes on, you know, every day to go to work, to go to school, to do the things that need to be done. So if a lady's feeding her family, if a lady's making managing the clothing needs, if she's making wise purchases, she's going to several different stores every week to save as much money as possible because groceries are the most expensive thing that her family deals with. If she's putting in the time and the effort to educate her children every day. She's cleaning and maintaining and involving the children in that clean. Look, I just don't think that lady's going to involve herself in a lot of gossip. But when it's a lady whose husband comes home every day and there's no food, the clothes are just piled up and nothing's clean, the house is a mess, everything's a mess, then yeah, I could see how they could be idle only, wandering about from house to house. And in Paul's day, it was wandering out wandering about from house to house, and our day is wandering about from Facebook page to Facebook page. And not only idle, but toddlers also and busybodies. And look, so I'm making the point, don't be idle. Make sure you're working. I think God wants everybody working. Whether you're working a secular job, whether you're getting a W-2 at the end of the year or not, you should be working every day. So don't be idle. Go back to Proverbs 31 and we'll finish this up. Let me just end by saying this. The Bible teaches that the greatest thing that a Christian lady can do with her life is to care for her household and to raise her children for the Lord. It's the greatest thing. And you know, we live in this society, in this culture where they want to downplay that. And let me just say this. You know, more, better than being the first woman president, better than being, you know, a lady governor of the state of California, better than being some woman CEO of some major company, the greatest thing that a Christian lady can do is to care for her household, to care for her husband, to raise her children for the glory of God. Notice how the Bible ends, how this Proverbs 31 ends in verse 28. The Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So ladies, make sure you're giving yourself to these things, taking these responsibilities as God-given responsibilities, as a role for your life, and make sure that you're being about the business that God has given you every day of your life. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you, Lord, for your word and the clarity that it brings. And Lord, I realize that some of the things that I said in this sermon by the world standards are going to be controversial. I realize that there may be even people in this congregation, in this auditorium right now, that maybe they're just new to our church and they haven't heard some of these things and this is new to them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to know the heart of our church and the heart of our family here, that we're not judging them. We all start off learning things and having things be new to us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to have the right attitude as we respond to the Word of God. Help us to learn what you would have for our lives. Lord, help us to do the things that you've asked us to do and to take our roles and our responsibilities seriously that you've given us. Whether we're men, whether we're ladies, whether we're children, whether we're teens, Lord, help us to see our roles biblically and our responsibilities. Help us to do them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to have Brother Andrew come up and lead us in